People hated Zacchaeus because he was a cheat. So Jesus did something. He just didn't walk up to the tree and look up and notice him. He didn't just call him by name and affirm him in front of those who hated him. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. You see, the truth is, we are a lot like Zacchaeus. We've all done things that have hurt others. But Jesus is far more interested in changing us than he is in condemning us. Jesus will neither lecture you or deny you. But the devil likes people to think that he will. So let's not condemn each other, but see the best in each other. The story goes that God and the devil were talking. And God told the devil that he was going to take some things away from him. He was going to take sickness and poverty and many other things. And the devil said, no problem. Then finally God said he was going to take away discouragement away from him. And the devil became unglued. You see, that's the best weapon that he has. He said that everything else fails. All he had to do was throw a little discouragement in front of us, and we would lose our faith. And sadly, in most instances, that's the case. John 6, verse 37 says, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. God notices everything in our lives. His eyes of love are constantly watching over you and me. And he knows our value. No matter what anyone else around you is saying about you. He knows the truth. They don't. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He made you and he wants you, even though perhaps you've rejected him in the past. So how should we respond to that kind of God? Well, we see it in today's reading. Look what Zacchaeus did in verse 6. He quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. What a God that offers us so much love and eternal happiness. And I think we should react in the same way, with great excitement and joy. We read that Zacchaeus was changed instantly. If you've really met Jesus, your attitudes change. You become more generous. You stop thinking about yourself. You realize how much you've been given, and you want to give back. Many of us forget that everything that we have comes from God, and they want to hold on to everything that they have. But when Jesus touches them, they start thinking about what they can do to help others. We are made in God's image. And when we receive Jesus, we start changing to reflect that image. And it's an image of true love. So while I'm on the subject of worth and value, what do you consider the worth of a seafarer? Well, you've probably not thought about it ever. I know that that was the case with me before I saw the application pack for the chaplain to the mission to seafarers. And seeing that application pack educated me and opened my eyes. We've all been through the pandemic, and that taught us some more important lessons on worth and value. For doctors and nurses, remember we clap for them at our doorsteps on Thursday evenings. Then for care workers, auxiliary staff, and then delivery drivers. Do you remember clapping for and showing appreciation for seafarers? The 1.8 million men and women who bring 90%+ of what our lifestyles demand to our shores, whose contract lengths, which were between 3 to 6 months or 9 months in some cases, suddenly became as much as 13 to 15 months away from home and their families. I actually met somebody in port 2 weeks ago, and it was him that told me that he hadn't, during the pandemic, been home for 15 months. Can you imagine being separated from loved ones and growing children or grandchildren for that length of time? Or when you arrived in a new port, being treated like a leper in case you were bringing the coronavirus with you? Or not being allowed to go ashore just to get a few necessities, like a bar of soap or some shower gel or some shaving foam? These things on top of an already long list of occupational hazards that they face. Poor communications with home. It's a fact that only 25% of ships have decent Wi-Fi. The rest rely on the like of us and other services to provide mobile SIM cards for them. There's still piracy in the world. Blackbeard is not dead by any means. There's something called abandonment, where they're left at port in their own devices without any wages. Of course, there's loneliness, poor mental health, and poor pay. It was Vivek, one of our very valued ship visitors, who came to me one day and to Paul, the centre manager, and he'd been talking to one of the, I think it was a third able seaman, and he was able to work out that that person was on something between £2 and £3 an hour. They have to ride out ferocious seas. So the next time you don't see bananas on the shelves in Tesco's or Marks and Spencer's, it's not the seafarer's fault. They're maybe fighting 40-foot waves or being terrorized as they go around the Bay of Biscay. I think we need to be thinking about and praying for and helping seafarers as they give up so much for us all. In fact, when I go on board ships in the port, I'll always try and thank them for what they do for us, make them feel appreciated. We need to be more generous in giving what we have to those who are always in greater need, and that's a sign of a church.